Luke chapter 9, I want to bring a message to you this morning from verse 1 down through verse 6 of Luke chapter 9. And I'm taking the title for the message from the words found in the first part of verse 3. Take nothing for your journey. Now think about that. Take nothing for your journey. Now, oftentimes when we plan to take a trip and then we are getting ready, and when we get ready to go on that trip, it always involves doing some packing, doesn't it? You wouldn't dare go on a trip without packing, would you? You pack up whatever you're going to pack up, supplies maybe, some food, and certainly you would take some extra clothes, wouldn't you? The longer you go on that trip, the more you have to take, right? My dear wife packs up everything she thinks we'll need for any trip we go on, even some things we maybe don't need, but just in case. She plans out everything. She packs everything up, plans everything out. But notice here, our Lord is sending out His apostles on the most important journey of their life. A missionary journey, preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He instructs them to take nothing. What? Nothing. Take nothing for your journey, not a staff in your hand, not a backpack, not a suitcase, not a scrip. Take no bread, no money, and no extra clothes. Wow. Isn't that something? That's amazing, isn't it? He instructs them to take absolutely nothing. The Lord is teaching them and us that He will supply everything necessary for our journey right here. The believer's journey in this life is a journey of faith. He's sending them out by faith. You believe me, and I'll supply everything you need. The believer's journey here is a journey and a life of faith. We read four times in the Word of God where it says, "The just shall live by faith." 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, we walk by faith, not by sight. The Lord said in Matthew 6, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things I will supply for you." You see, everything we need as believers to sustain us in this life, and especially in our spiritual life, the Lord has abundantly and freely supplied for us in Christ everything. Not one thing lacking. He has supplied everything we need. And He has done it through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the storehouse of mercy. God, who spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? The Lord Jesus Christ has made to the believer wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That, according as it is written, "He that would glory, let him glory only in the Lord, who provides all our need according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus." Now, I want us to consider these verses and learn here the importance the Lord places upon preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, or the gospel of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent them out, it says in verse 2, He sent them out to preach the kingdom of God. And then it says in verse 6, "And they departed and went out to the town preaching the kingdom of God." Now listen carefully. He did not send the disciples out to be social workers, and God's preachers are not social workers. He did not send them out to be counselors. We point sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the mighty counselor. He didn't send them out to be financial planners, or he didn't send them out to get involved in politics or to be a politician. He sent them out on one specific mission, and that is to preach the gospel, to lift up Christ. He sent them out to be preachers of the gospel. This alone is the preacher's business. Preaching Christ. Preaching Christ and Him crucified. The Apostle Paul put it this way, I'm determined not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, the Apostle Paul said this again, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Necessity is laid upon me to preach the gospel of God. And as we read in our study this morning from Romans chapter 1, Paul said, for as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel of God to you who are at Rome and to the barbarian or the Scythian, wise, bond, or free. For the gospel of God, the gospel is the power of God. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. He sent them out preaching and healing, and that is exactly what the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is designed to do right now. He has sent us out to preach the gospel, and then with that gospel, blessed to the heart, the power of God and the Holy Spirit, you know what happens? Healing. Healing. That's right. Healing. To make sinners who were dead whole, to make sinners who were dead in sin alive and complete in Christ Jesus. And He does this through the means that He has ordained. What is the means that He has ordained? Exactly what I'm doing right now. It pleased God through preaching to call out His people. And His sheep will hear Him. Now, take a look at verse 1 and verse 2. Luke 9, and He called the 12 disciples together. And He gave them, now first of all, He called them, and that He gave them power and authority over all devils to cure diseases, and He sent them to preach the kingdom of God, or to set forth His lordship. When you talk about the kingdom of God, doesn't the kingdom of God have to have a king? The Lord Jesus Christ is King of kings, and He is Lord of lords. He called them, gave them everything they needed. He equipped them, supplied them for the task He called them unto, and He gave them gifts, ability, and desire to carry out that task or that calling. We also see in this the blessing of the gospel to every believer. Now, don't overlook this. This is also the blessing not only to those who are called to preach the gospel, but also to those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how does it start? Verse 1 said He called them. He called them. That's exactly what God has done to all of His elect that He has called by the gospel. He calls them. That is the effectual and irresistible call of God with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember He walked in front of a tomb of a man named Lazarus, and He said, Lazarus, come forth, and he that was dead came forth. You see, the gospel of God comes with that irresistible call of God. Listen to this scripture in 1 Corinthians. Don't turn, let me just read it to you. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks it's foolishness, but unto them which are called of God, both Jews or Greeks, Christ is the power of God and Christ is the wisdom of God. If God has ever called you by the gospel, you know that the Lord Jesus Christ is all the wisdom of God, and He's made unto you wisdom, and He is all the power of God unto salvation. He calls us forth with that irresistible call of God. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. What's going to happen? There's the call of God to a sinner up a tree. Zacchaeus, make haste, come down. And he made haste. And he came down. And then we have also studied in Luke chapter 5 the call of Matthew, where the Lord walked in front of the table of Matthew the publican, he calls himself. Matthew, follow me. And he did. He dropped all and followed the Lord Jesus Christ. The point being is this: the Lord will in due time cross the path of his elect with the gospel and call them out of darkness into his marvelous light. His sheep will hear it, will receive it, and will fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, submit unto his lordship, and believe him. Thy people shall be willing in the day of God's power. It's a call out of darkness to light, out of death to life, out of bondage to liberty. He said, my sheep, they will hear my voice. I know them, and they will follow me. There is also a special call of God to the gospel ministry that is effectual, sent to those who are called to preach the gospel of God's grace. So every believer has been called to the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, he says, and he gave them something. He gave them power. Do you see that? He gave them power. Now, what do we see in this? No man naturally has any spiritual ability to come to Christ because we're dead in sin. We have no power, no ability to believe the gospel, no ability to come to Christ. We know that from John 6:44, where it said, no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. You see, we only believe the gospel according to the working of his mighty power. You see, believing the gospel is a miracle of God's grace. We only believe the gospel because God has ordained us to eternal life. And because we are ordained to eternal life, we believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly it is also true concerning the call of God to preach the gospel. No man can preach the gospel unless God enables him to do so and sends him with that message that glorifies Christ. So he called them. He gave them power. And that's what he does for every believer. He calls them with the gospel, gives them power. And then it says, secondly, he gave them authority. Authority. He says here he gave them authority over devils and to cure diseases. And this is what the gospel is designed to do, to heal the sick. You remember from Isaiah chapter 53 where it says he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities, and with his stripes, through the substitutionary sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the shedding of his blood, we are, what's the word? The word is, we are healed. You see, there is healing in the atonement. For lepers, he cleanses them. Turn back just a few pages. Remember in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Luke 4:18. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind. He sent me to preach the gospel to the poor, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You see, it's the gospel of Christ itself, that the power of God and the salvation that healed sinners who are sick and dead in sin. He has given us authority. He has said, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. He will not forsake us. He will not leave us. Now, look at verse 3 in Luke 9, verse 3. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, not a staff, not a purse, not a bag, no bread, no money, no extra clothes. Take nothing for your journey. Our journey here as believers is a journey of faith. We read in Matthew 10, freely have you received, freely give. You see, he shall supply all our need according to his riches in glory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Genesis 22. You remember the story of Abraham and Isaac going to the Mount Moriah to worship God. And Isaac said to his father, "Here is the knife, here is the fire, where is the sacrifice to worship God? He cannot worship God without a blood sacrifice." You remember what Abraham said? "My son, God will provide for himself a lamb." The Lord provides everything that we need. He is Jehovah Jireh. Abraham in his journey. If you want to turn, you can read with me in Hebrews chapter 11. He shall supply all our need as we travel this life of faith and sojourn here. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says of Abraham, verse 8, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out," there's that call, "which he should after receive for an inheritance, he went out to a place which he is after received for an inheritance. He obeyed and he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac, Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." That's the journey we're on. We're looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ as we are traveling through this life, looking for that glorious city which hath foundation, which is Christ. Now he mentions five things here that we're not to take. In verse 3, he says, take nothing for your journey. Take no staff. No staff. No staff to lean upon. You see, we lean upon the everlasting arms of Christ. Deuteronomy 33. The eternal God is our refuge. Underneath are the everlasting arms. So we take no staff because we're leaning upon Christ. He says, take no scrip, no bag to put provisions in. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is our portion. Psalm 16, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. To the believer, the Lord Jesus Christ is all of our inheritance. Incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved for heaven in you. We are in him. We are made heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Take no staff, we lean upon Christ. Take no baggage, Christ is our portion, our inheritance. Take no bread, you see, Christ is our bread. We feed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, shall never thirst. And then he says, take no money. Now, can you imagine leaving your home on a trip, taking no money? Now, I don't carry any money, but I have one of those cards, debit cards. But he says here, take no money. Take no money. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ paid the total debt of our sin, and he paid it with his own blood. You're bought with a price. Therefore, honor and glorify him. He bought us with his own blood. We are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Take no money. And then he says here, take no extra coat. You see that? Why would he say that? Well, to the believer, Christ is our covering. Christ is our robe of righteousness. Christ is the garment of our salvation. You see, that's the journey we're on. We're in the journey, traveling, looking to Christ, resting in him, and we are clothed with his righteousness. Now, look at verse 4 and verse 5. And whatsoever house you enter in, there abide. Abide in that house, and then depart. Whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet, for testimony against them. Whatever house you enter in, abide in that house. But those who will not receive you will not hear the message, will not receive the gospel message of the kingdom, his lordship, he said, leave him alone and shake the dust off your feet. We read in Matthew 10:40, he that receiveth you receiveth me. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Here's another scripture to help us understand that. Turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 16. Luke 10, verse 16. He that heareth you. Now, this is involved, what's involved in preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a serious matter to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and to reject it. He that heareth you heareth me. He that despiseth you despises me. He that despises me despises him that sent me. It's a serious thing to hear the gospel and to reject it. He said it would be better for those in that day of judgment. It would be better for those in Sodom and Gomorrah than it would be for those who reject the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in that day of judgment. But notice this word here in Luke 9, verse 5. Whosoever will not receive you or receive the message. Now, whatever is involved in receiving Christ, I want to do that. I want to receive him. Don't you? Turn over here to John chapter 1. I want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ in all that he is. I want to receive the whole Christ, the Christ of God and everything about the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to receive him as he's revealed in the Word. John chapter 1, look at verse 11. He came into his own people, his own nation. His own received him not. Verse 12. As many as received him, to them gave he right power to become, privilege to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, verse 13, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Those who hear and receive the gospel are those who have been born of God. And we receive, saving faith receives the whole Christ. Everything about the Lord Jesus Christ. His deity, we receive him as God our Savior. We receive his true humanity. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He is the God-man mediator. We receive his Lordship. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We receive Christ as all of our righteousness before God. He is the Lord, our righteousness. We count all else lost that we might win Christ and be found in him who is our righteousness. And we receive his atonement for all our pardon, his blood atonement, his blood sacrifice. We receive it all, don't we? We receive the whole Christ, the whole gospel, the gospel of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who will not receive the gospel, he said in verse 5, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. Now, that's strong, isn't it? That is strong. Now, our authority in preaching the gospel is the Word of God. God's ministers preach God's truth. We declare God's gospel of the free grace of God as it's revealed in the Word of God. We have no time for debate. There was a preacher over in town several years ago, came over here and came in my front door and wanted to debate with me. He wanted to have a public forum and a public debate. He said, we can debate in the newspaper, or we can debate on the radio, or we'll rent a hall over here in town, and we'll debate the issues. I said, the gospel's not up for debate. I don't debate the issues. I preach the gospel of God. We have no time to debate or dispute with the worms of the dust concerning their thoughts, their feelings about eternal redemption. We're sent to declare the gospel. As it says in verse 6, they departed and went through the town, preaching the gospel. We're not social workers. We're not politicians. If men hear you, they'll hear him. If men hear you, they will hear him who sent you. But if they despise you, it's not you they despise, but the Christ of God and his word. If they reject you, shake the dust off your feet as a witness against them and go somewhere else and preach the gospel. Christ did not dispute with men. He preached the gospel to them. And I just read that article. It's in your bulletin this morning. And that's an article by Pastor Mahan. That's our authority to preach, is preaching Christ. And they departed and went out and preached the gospel. Now, in what time I've got left, I've got about 10 minutes left, so don't get anxious. Try to preach about 35, 40 minutes. They departed and went out through the town preaching the gospel. Now, they just didn't go out preaching. Woods are full of preachers. Did you know that? Everybody and their brother is a preacher. That guy's a preacher. That guy's a preacher. Sadly, there's not many gospel preachers. They went out and preached the gospel. So, preacher, tell me, what is it then to preach the gospel? What is it then to preach the gospel? Now, I'm going to give you the outline that's on the back of your bulletin. And you can follow along if you want to. Or you can just listen to me. What is it then? They went out preaching the gospel. What is it then to preach the gospel? Is everybody that calls himself a preacher preaching the gospel? No, they're not. The Apostle Paul said, though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Now, I can say this too. If I do preach the gospel, and I do, if you won't hear it, woe is unto you. Now, I must preach the gospel. I'm going to do that as long as God gives me breath to do it. But what is it to preach the gospel? And I ask this question, is everybody preaching the gospel? Regrettably, no. It would be great if all churches everywhere did preach the gospel, but this is certainly not the case. Preaching the gospel involves, the gospel of God, involves telling the truth as it's revealed from Holy Scripture. Telling the truth about four things. Telling the truth about God, who God is. Telling the truth about man, who we are. Telling the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is. And then telling the truth about salvation. Salvation. Salvation is dependent totally upon Christ. Salvation, you know, people say, well, salvation depends upon you. That's a lie. That's a lie. Salvation depends upon Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ accomplished salvation. He said, when he died at Calvary and bowed his head, he said, it's finished. He doesn't say, oh, Joe paid a part and I paid a part. We put it together and now it's done. No, it's finished. Who finished it? He did. You see, salvation is his doing. So, when we preach the gospel, the first thing we have to do is to tell the truth about God, who God is. God is not who we think he is. All of our thoughts about God are wrong. God is who he is as he's revealed in this book. So anything I know about God that's contrary to this book, don't believe it. We declare the truth about God as he's revealed in the book. All men by nature have incorrect, false notions about the true and living God. They say in religion today, God loves everybody. That's not what this book says. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. God is love, but not at the expense of his holiness. But God does not love all men everywhere without exception. That is not taught in the Word of God. The God that is revealed in Holy Scripture is absolutely holy. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We read this scripture, Revelation 15:4. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. God is not only holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. But God is also sovereign in all things. What does that mean? What does divine sovereignty mean? Simply means that God is God. Now, if He's God, He's almighty. He's God in creation, God in providence, and He's God in salvation. He will have mercy on whom He will. God is immutable. There's none else. He said, I am God. There's none beside me. God is holy, sovereign, immutable in all of His attributes and actions. He does not change. All that He is today, He has ever been and will ever be. He is the eternal I am. Point number one. Number two. And we could go on and on and on about God, our God, as He's revealed in this book. And that's what we preach. We preach the truth about the character of God, the attributes of God. Secondly, we tell the truth about man, about us. Men, left to themselves, don't like to hear the truth about God, nor about themselves. But we must be faithful to God and to His Word. Man and men are the exact opposite of everything that God is. God is holy. We are what? What's the opposite of holy? Unholy. God is omnipotent. That is, means He has all power. We are impotent. We are fallen and frail. He is unchanging. We set the clock ahead one hour. That didn't affect God. God never changed. His timetable never changes. He never changes. We change all the time. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. The truth is, man is fallen, totally depraved, and sinful in all of our actions, deeds, and words. We are sinners through and through. Does that describe you? The man who doesn't preach the total depravity of sinners is a man who does not preach the gospel of God. The man who does not preach the total absolute sovereignty of God in all things is a man who does not preach the gospel of God. Now, here's the third point. We tell the truth when we preach the gospel of God. We tell the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ, who He is. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, He's not my buddy and my co-pilot. He's not just my friend. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Fully and totally Almighty God. He is God, our Savior. And when He took humanity unto Himself, a real man, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. We tell the truth about who the Lord Jesus Christ is. He's God, our Savior. When He declared that He is God Almighty, you remember what those religious Jews did? He said, I and my Father are one. What's He saying? He's declaring that He is the eternal God. What did they do? They picked up stones to stone Him, to kill Him. Men don't like to hear the truth about themselves, the truth about God, nor the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ, His real person and what He did. What did the Lord Jesus Christ accomplish at Calvary? Think about it. What did He do? Well, He died for our sin, the sin of God's people, according to the Scriptures. He was buried and raised again the third day according to the Scriptures, according to the book. He accomplished salvation for us, put away all the sin of God's elect, put away all the sin of God's people. It is not true that the Lord Jesus Christ died for all of the sins of all men. That's not taught in this book. What's taught in this book is that He laid down His life for the sheep. What's taught in this book, call His name Jesus, He shall save His people from their sin. The man who says that Christ died for all of the sins of all men, he is not a gospel preacher and he is not sent of God. That's just so. That's just so. You see, when you preach the gospel, you declare the effectual, redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did redeem His people with His blood. That's our whole hope, is it not? When He died, He put away our sin so perfectly, so completely that God said their sin and their iniquity will I remember no more. He cannot fail in all that He did. Here's the fourth thing. We tell the truth about salvation. About salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. That is, He planned it. He purposed it. He executed it. He applies it. He accomplishes it. And He keeps us by His power, by His grace. Every aspect of salvation, from the beginning in election, where God had chosen a people unto salvation, to the end of their glorification, salvation is of the Lord. In its beginning and its ultimate perfection, it's all of the Lord. Salvation is by His grace alone. Salvation is by grace. Did you know that? What does that mean? That means you had nothing to do with it. That's what that means. For by grace are you saved. God saved us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace given us in Christ before the foundation of the world. God purposed the salvation of His people by His grace before they were born into this life. That's the God of the Scripture. Salvation is of the Lord. So when we go and preach the gospel, that's what these men did. They departed, they went through the town preaching the gospel and healing. There's been a lot of folks that's been healed with the gospel. Did you know that? Their sins have been put away and they've been made new creatures in Christ. By nature, they're lepers. By nature, they're diseased and vile and wretched. But in Christ, in Him, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we stand complete in Christ. In Christ, we stand complete. Now, you've got that outline on the back of your bulletin. Now, you take that outline, and next time someone asks you, what is the gospel of God? Right here. We tell the truth about God, about man. God is holy, men are sinful. We tell the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the effectual Redeemer that really redeems His people from their sin. And salvation is all of God, all of grace. Oh, may the Lord be pleased to enable us to continue to preach this gospel. This gospel, the gospel of God. And may God enable us to believe it in our heart to the saving of our soul. Well, I can say with the apostle, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. Can you believe it? By His grace, I do. Amen.